they're all substantially the same. You know, I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about that word, and he's right. He's right. How many of you men know what your wallet looks like? You know what your wallet looks like, huh? You're pretty familiar with it. Would you bring it up here and give it to me for 10 seconds? I'll give it back to you substantially the same. Brother Cassidy was going to bring his up here.
Promise? All my money right here. I'm no fool.
Hey, I wouldn't touch the money. You'll get it back substantially the same. Would you want it back the way I would give it back? Substantially the same. I may take your driver's license. I may take a credit card. Just one item. Won't have to take much. It'll substantially be the same. You wouldn't take that back, would you? You'd want it back exactly the same, wouldn't you? Well, I happen to believe that this subject of the battle for the Word of God is the foundation of every problem that the church has. And this is where it's at. We're reading in Psalm 119, and you don't have to turn there right now. I'm just saying that's where we've been reading in the oral scripture reading here. In verse 126 has a reference to our time, I believe. It says that, "It is time, O Lord, for thee to work, for they have made void thy law." Okay? When God works, and I think in the context of that verse, when God works, it's in the context of a miraculous work that you can see. Now, God's working all the time. We know that. Saving souls and all the rest of that. But this kind of work is a special work. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, they had made void the law of God. What was it Jesus was constantly doing when he kind of, he says, "The scriptures say it, but you say. The scriptures say it, but you say." They had made void the law with their own teaching, with their own word. And it was time for who to work? The Lord. And why did he do it? He came. Get excited, folks. He's coming again. They've made void the law. And it's a terrible thing. I'm looking at Philippians chapter 2. Robbery and theft. Philippians chapter 2, most of you are very familiar with this. If you turn there and look on, I'm going to read, but I'm not going to read from this King James. You follow as I read along and a couple of others. I'm going to read from the NIV first. It says, "Your attitude," beginning in verse 5, Philippians 2:5, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." The New American Standard Version, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptying himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men." How about the New World Translation? "Keep this mental attitude in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who although he was existing in God's form, gave no consideration to a seizure, namely that he should be equal to God. No, but he emptied himself and took a slave's form and came to be in the likeness of men." Now, early on, as God began to open my eyes to this situation of the multiple translations, and by the way, I didn't get my eyes open in Bible school. I'm a graduate of a three-year Bible school program, Tennessee Temple, in Chattanooga, Tennessee. My eyes were not open to this subject there. I came out of Bible school pretty much believing that it didn't make any difference what translation you used. You get saved with any of them. I heard testimonies by different ones in school that one fellow, believe it or not, said he got saved reading the Living Bible while he was sitting in the bathroom. Well, I'm not going to challenge his salvation necessarily, but he's not going to grow reading that Bible. I mean, he's probably, where he got saved is where he's going to stay. You know, reading the Living Bible.
That's what happens.
But when God began to work in my heart to reveal these things, this text here in Philippians 2 was one of the first ones that really jumped out at me as I was preparing. Now, I remember going into a Bible bookstore one time with my wife and took her over to the Bible rack and all the different translations, and I opened them all up to Philippians chapter 2, and I told my wife, I said, read them all. And they all of them say one thing, and the King James says something else. Now the proper text is, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, when I began to prepare this, I was shooting high. I was going to go to the Greek, and I mean, I was going to unfold that thing in every way that I could. Now, when the TBS came up to my church in Grafton, they asked me to speak there. And I can remember very vividly what I spoke on. I don't know Greek and I don't know Hebrew, so what am I going to do? That was the title of my message. And, you know, early on, too, in this studying on this thing, it became quite evident to me I on the right side, the wrong side, because they're in the Greek, they're talking about all these manuscripts. Dr. Waite's always, and bless your heart, this is not negative, he's always talking about how many Greek manuscripts. I couldn't read one of them. How am I ever going to read 5,000? How many of them are, you know, the backup? How am I going to, and one group says they're right, the other group says they're wrong. And it's back and forth. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, it's all answered in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It's got to be by faith. And that faith, by the way, has to be in what God has revealed in His Word. It cannot be in anything else. We hear a lot of talk about faith. People say, well, I got the faith. But they don't identify it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If the Word of God doesn't reveal it, then it's not worth believing. It's a total waste of time. And so as I was making some lofty preparations for this message, I thought, no, I'm going to be talking to some very learned people. And I'm just going to shoot myself in the foot if I try to do that. So what I'm looking at in this small text here is this idea. Does it glorify the Lord? Which translation glorifies the Lord? And which one will preach? It does make a difference. It does make a difference. You know, in John chapter 16, in verses 13 to 14, Jesus said, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All right? I tell you what. You can take those two verses right there, and if people will just listen to the Bible, you can straighten out a lot of tongues, people, and everything else.
Yes, true.
If you want to identify, and by the way, we're supposed to try the Spirit. If you want to identify where the Spirit of God is, you find out how high Jesus is being lifted up.
Amen.
And when He is lifted, then you know the Spirit of God's in it. Okay? Now, such as Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, when it says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. I want you to know that's how high we need to be lifting our Savior. High and lifted up to the point where we become just like Isaiah was. I'm a man of unclean lips. That's how high our Lord is. We need to lift Him up. This business of could Jesus have sinned, or as the other versions state in Philippians 2, 5, 6, and 7, He gave up equality with God. And I say no, 1,000 times no. He never gave up equality with God. He never did. And we're talking about, you know, I passed up the Greek already. We're just talking about what's written in the English language. Okay? And if you take what the other versions say in the English language, you know, the common definition of those words says that Jesus gave up being God.
Right.
I'm telling you, the King James doesn't say that. The King James doesn't say that Jesus ever gave up being God. He may have humbled himself, the text says that, but he never gave up being God. Never for a moment. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood."
Amen.
But who was it that died on the cross?
God.
Who shed his blood? It was Jesus. But who is he? He's God.
Amen.
He's God.
Amen.
Now, we're going to be looking in John's Gospel, and I realize that that's, you know, who made mention of the Jesus seminar? Brother Lamore, yes. Yeah. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. I think I touched on them last year. But see, they already, they're looking for the historical Jesus. They already have counted out the Gospel of John. They don't look at it because it's too radical from the others. And so they say it doesn't count. You know, everything in there is bogus. And we can't. Well, we're going to look at John. Okay? John chapter 5, verse 17, 18 says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Would to God that the scholars today had as much intelligence as the Pharisees had. I mean, they knew what he was saying, and they took up stones to stone him. They said, "You make yourself equal with God." And yet the new translations all say he didn't want to be equal with God. He didn't hold on to equality with God. But that's not what the King James says. King James says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, if I was to stand up here tonight and tell you that I'm the president of the Dean Burgon Society meeting, I'd be stealing something. I'd be taking something that doesn't belong to me. He happens to be sitting behind me. Okay? If I was standing here tonight and tell you I was president of the United States, and I never would do that. But if I would, I would be stealing something that doesn't belong to me, because I'm not. If I was to tell you that I was anybody other than who I am, I'd be lying, and I'd be trying to take something that doesn't belong to me. And that's exactly what the text is saying when it says that Jesus didn't consider robbery to be equal with God. Because when he proclaimed that he was God, he wasn't taking anything that didn't belong to him. It was his. Legally and rightfully. Again, in John chapter 8, and I don't have this in my notes, but it came to me as somebody was talking today. You know, this questioning here in John concerning when they brought the woman taken in adultery, and that text is considered, you know, questionable as whether it belongs in there. You know, the Lord showed me something in that, and I preached a message out in my home church one time, but this also points to the deity of Jesus Christ. Because those men that took that woman, found her, if they're not lying, they said, "We took her in the very act of adultery." If you know anything about the law, the Old Testament law, what were those men required to do? And God would not have done anything about it.
First of all, take the two witnesses.
Two witnesses. But they also should have stoned her. According to the law. And they would have been right before God. They would have been right before God. Because he's the one that gave them the law that told them to do that. But when Jesus dispersed the crowd by simply saying, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone," and they all left. And then Jesus stood and asked her where her accusers are. And then he exercised the divine prerogative of forgiveness.
Amen.
That was not given to those men by the law. They were required by the law to stone her to death. Take away the reproach off of Israel. What happened when they tore open the roof and lowered the fellow down there and Jesus healed him? He didn't heal him first, did he? He said, no, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
And what did they do in here? They said, oh, only God can do that. Well, you know what? Too bad the Roman Catholic priests haven't learned that.
Amen.
You see, only God can forgive sin.
Amen.
And when Jesus turned to that woman and said, where are thine accusers? And then he told her, he says, go and sin no more. He forgave her.
Amen.
Only God can do that.
Amen.
Don't let anybody take those verses out of your Bible.
That's right.
Don't let them take it out. But in John chapter 8, verse 56 through 59 says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. We see it also says in Philippians chapter 2 that he made of himself no reputation. Now, not only says that he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, when he claimed to be God, and right here in this text, Jesus Christ claims to be God.
Yes, sir.
He says, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
All right? But when they took up stones to stone him, what did he do? He just slipped out through the crowd. Quietly. And was gone. Now that doesn't seem to be the action of God, does it? You see, the King James is right.
Yes.
He made himself of no reputation, but at the same time, he wasn't robbing anybody when he said, I am.
Amen.
I am. Jesus claimed to be God, and he wasn't robbing God or anyone else of anything. He is, was, and always will be God. Again, in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If he's nothing but a good man, he ought to be branded as a heretic and a liar to come up with a statement like that. But he is God, and he can make that statement. He'll hold it good, too. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Again, these fellows got more intelligence than all the Bible scholars today. You know, excluding the august body here tonight. I consider these fellows to be scholars too. But scholars of the right sort. But the ones who say, I mean, I've read after them and said, Jesus never really claimed to be God. Mercy. Made void thy law. Time for the Lord to work. Again in chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not seen me, or known me rather, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Wouldn't you call that equality with God? I would call that equality with God. All the other translations say he didn't want to hold on to that. You know, it's like the fellow that threw the rope on the bull, and the bull started dragging me. He just said, look, I didn't want that anyway. You know? That's what they're saying Jesus did with equality with God. He never did that. He never did that. Jesus didn't for a moment step down from the fact that he was God. He openly declared that. He openly declared it not only through his words, and we're reading his words, but he also declared it through his actions and everything that he did. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now verse 21 says, who by him, that is by Jesus, by the Lamb of God, who by him do believe in God. The next time you talk to somebody who says, yes, I believe in God, you ask them this question, what is his name? And what is his son's name? It's about himself. Because if you don't have a name on him, your God just might be the devil. In fact, your God probably is the devil if you just believe in a God, period. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon God shall be saved. Oh, I changed that, didn't I? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has a name. God has a name. And Jesus Christ was not ashamed, and he was not stealing from anybody when he said, I am that God. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
He said, I and my Father are one and the same.
Glory.
They knew what he was saying.
Yes, they did.
They took up stones to stone him. They called it blasphemy. You're just a mere man, and you call yourself God?
Mm.
Absolutely, he called himself God, because that's exactly who he is.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad my Savior is high and lifted up.
Yeah.
And his train fills the temple.
Yeah.
I'm glad that my Savior isn't some weak, little old, puny, able to sin type of person, but rather that he is the God who created the worlds.
Yeah.
And who by him the worlds have their being. They are sustained by him.